This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Kakrabaden. Welcome to Air Power with Kakrabaden, teaching the nations with signs and wonders. Why live in darkness when the light of God's word has solutions? Kakra is a teacher of the word who also ministers with miracles and the prophetic anointing. He's the senior pastor of the Catch the Anointing Center, Accra, Ghana. Now, today's message. Welcome to today's broadcast. Kakra began an enlightening message series titled How to Overcome a Setback. Today he continues. Let's join in.
I want to just share on the subject, how to recover from a setback. One of the things we must not do as Christians is to change our weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they are not human or natural, but they are mighty. They may be spiritual, they may not look impressive, but the Bible says that the result is outstanding. They are mighty through God, because we are fighting through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So as a Christian, you must always try to find out what are the spiritual weapons that God has given to you. For example, the communion is one of the weapons. That's why we pray. It looks unimpressive, but it's a powerful spiritual tool that God has given to us. So if we have experienced COVID and we want to recover from a setback, I believe there are natural things that we can do, which may be logical, sensible, and wise. But even unbelievers can do the natural things. We must now deploy weapons that are in the realm of the spirit. So what will God do in a situation like this? Or what instructions will God give to us? One thing about life is that you must be a student of history. The reason why you must be a student of history is that a man who does not remember the past is like a man that has lost his memory. Imagine you lose your memory, you can't go back home because you can't recollect where you came from 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago because you have lost your memory. And when I was a kid, I thought that history was an unimportant subject. But the more I grow, I realize that history is very important. Why? Because history repeats itself. So those who do not learn from history are bound to repeat it. And when you read the history of even the church or the history of anything, you realize that it's the same story over and over and over again. So if you are a business person, study the history of your business. If it's a church, study the history of the church. If it's families and marriages, study the history of people who went before you, what they married, what they did, what happened. If you do the same thing, you receive the same result. So in Exodus chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible says, that which has been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. So, before there was a COVID setback, there have been setbacks in people's lives in the Bible. So as students of history, we should ask ourselves, who were those people? What did they do? And what did God do? Very important question, because there have been setbacks. The word setback, it means something that delays your progress. It also means something that reverses your progress. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime, which means before, were written for our learning. God wants us to study it as students of history. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In other words, when you study history, it will give you comfort. It will give you patience. It will give you hope. Because you realize that there were some people who went through that same crisis, but they bounced back. And it tells you that you also can bounce back. I see you bouncing back in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, even as they also lusted. Here, Paul is talking about the journey of the people of Israel from Egypt to Canaan and what happened to them. And he said the things that happened to them, they are not just stories. It says they are historical examples. Very important. 1 Corinthians 10:11, he says the same thing. These things were our examples. They are written for our admonition. Admonition means warning. So sometimes some people's lives, their outcome is a warning to you that this is not the way to get married. This is not the way to behave. This is not the way to relate to your father. This is not the way to relate to people who are poorer than you. This is not the way. It says all are examples. It's a warning. Wherefore, verse 12 says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, when we study history, it prevents us from falling. It helps us to stand. So, you and I have to overcome a setback, recover from a setback. The best example of somebody who recovered from a setback is given by the Holy Spirit himself. Who is that? James chapter 5, let's read the Bible. The Bible talks about somebody who is a great example to follow. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example. An example is somebody to copy. Of what? Of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So here the Bible says that sometimes we go through difficulties. And that word patience means endurance. That word endurance, it means the ability to take pain, harm, and loss and survive it. Because some people can go through pain, but they won't survive. One heartbreak, that's it. They are finished. One capital that they lost, that is it. One job that they lost, it means they will be unemployed for the rest of their lives. They cannot take loss. So he says, there is an example. Then he talks about prophets. Then he selects somebody that you would not think is a prophet, but God says he's a prophet. One person is an example. So he zeroes in. Verse 11, let's read. You have heard of the patience of Job. The word patience means endurance. And have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Then he assumes that we have read the story of Job, which some of us may not know even the story. But he says that there is a story about a man called Job. He says, you have heard of him. And that man was a businessman. But what I find interesting is that the businessman was a prophet. May we have businessmen in this church who are also prophets. So it's an example that you can be a businessman and be a prophet. It's an example that in times of difficulty, this is how God restores his people. The whole story is an example. It's an example that you can lose things and go through pain, but you can come back. If you are a businessman and you are a prophet, you cannot make mistakes. Because God will show you business deals that will work. And those that will not work too, he will tell you. So Paul said the man was a prophet. No wonder he was such a very wealthy man. So here the Holy Ghost tells us that if we want to consider somebody who recovered from a setback, that man is a classic example. Job suffered a setback in every area. You know, sometimes you can have a setback in one area. Maybe your education is good, you are passing all your exams, but you have a setback in that you are sick. So we don't suffer setbacks most of the time in every area. But this man, every area. So his life is made up of three chapters. His beginning, the middle, and the end. In Job chapter 1, we learn about the beginning of his life, where everything was working for him. Job chapter 1 verse 1, let's read the scripture. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, his Christian life was solid. Verse 2, he has 7 sons and 3 daughters. His marriage, his family, solid. Verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. This man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His business life, solid. Then something happened. The devil started to attack him. Verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Verse 8, God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? I mean, this man seems to be an example everywhere. Even to the devil, God uses him as an example of a good Christian. There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Verse 10,
The devil said, Job's motives are not correct. Does Job fear God for nothing or for naught? He says, has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Stretch forth thy hand now, touch all that he has, he will curse you to the face. Then the devil said, if you like, take everything away from him. Let him experience a setback in every area. And let's see how he will respond to a setback. So that was the challenge. Let's see how a Christian is supposed to respond to a setback. His whole business collapsed. There was a day, verse 13 says, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, there came a messenger on Job and said, the asses were feeding, it says, and the Sabians came upon them and fell upon them and took them away. He said, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The Sabians came, they killed the servants, they took the asses. The oxen were plowing, he says, and the asses feeding beside them. So his business, his oxen that he uses, his oxen now will be, they were plowing, they will be his tractors, his caterpillars, whatever thing that he was using for his farm, all these machines, oxen plowing, asses feeding beside them. Asses will be his articulator tracks because the asses carry things. So these are articulator tracks and four-wheel drives and things, machines. Now we use machines, but they were using animals. All the machines used for farming, everything was destroyed. If you read further on, a fire came, destroyed everything. The whole business collapsed. His children also died. Verse 18, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a great wind from the wilderness. It smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men and they are dead. I also am escaped alone to tell thee. His family was destroyed in one day. 10 children dead in one day. What a calamity. Not only that, he himself, he fell ill. Job 2:7, and the devil smote Job with sore balls from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. So if you look at his life, his relationship with God suffered because God kind of allowed the devil to come and test him. He used to have a nice family, but in the story, he even begins to insult his wife. So this was the middle of his life. But the Bible says you have seen the end. So we have to look at the end. At the end, what happened? Let me tell you something. The state we are in now is not our end. Your latter end shall be greater than your beginning. Don't look at the middle part of your life and say, this is it. This is not it at all. Greater days are coming. Somebody shout amen. Greater days are coming.
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow as Kakwa shares how Job was able to recover from his setbacks.
If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Come and live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Be the Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Amen.
Before we leave, here is a praise report to boost your faith in the Lord.
It says, dear pastor, I asked you to pray for me because I needed a job. And when you pray for me, within 24 hours, I got a job. May you get a job within 24 hours.
Have you ever experienced periods in your life when you felt tired and disillusioned about the very things that used to excite you? It could be a marriage, a job, or your relationship with God. The daily grind of life can sap energy from your soul, mind, and emotions, leaving you depleted. Anything that expends energy needs to be recharged. Recharge your life with this exciting book by Kakwa Baden, Energy Drink. It will keep you fired up to face each day with faith, hope, and love. You can order this book through the following means. Send an email to info@kakwabaden.org. Call us on WhatsApp or send a WhatsApp message to +233 55 790 10. That's +233 55 790 10. You can place a regular call or send a text message to +233 20 7575 215. That's +233 20 7575 215. This book is also available as an ebook on Amazon, Kindle, or Kobo.com. We also deliver worldwide. Thanks for your time. You can contact us, seek counseling, ask for prayer, order today's full-length message, or order books through the following means. Call us or message us on WhatsApp to +233 55 790 10. Send an email to info@kakrabaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233 20 75 75 215. Our office hours are 10 a.m. to 1600 hours GMT.